Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
I'm kind of sad also, but I'm pumped to be preaching and teaching on what I'm teaching on tonight, but it is the last in our series of the tests. Have you enjoyed the series that we've done over the last few weeks on the test? I think it's been real impactful for several people that I've talked to, and so I pray that tonight is no different and that you're encouraged. I was talking to James before the service, and I can't help but think of a commercial, and if I would have thought of this ahead of time, I'd have it start, and we'd play it tonight. It was an old McDonald's commercial. Now, I don't know if you remember the slogan that they had and the commercial that said, "You deserve a break today." How many of y'all believe that? Come on. I'm scared to raise my hand. I don't know if I do or not. You deserve a break today. I don't know if you ever think about that, but in life, we start thinking that we are deserving of something. Because of all that we've done, all that we've put out, all the sweetness I've given to my wife, I deserve something. Or the women, I just deserve my husband. And we start thinking like that. Our kids start thinking that, oh, I cleaned my room and I deserve something. Well, you deserve a break at McDonald's. According to what they've said, everybody has this mindset. And there's just so much about that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 20. I want to read out of Scripture what the Bible says about a topic that I think will get us into the test that I'm talking about. Before I reveal exactly what that is, I want to set this up. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1, says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace. He saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon, and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing, found some other people. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, 'Why haven't you been working today?' They replied, 'Because no one hired us.' The landowner told him, 'Then go out and join the others in my vineyard.' That evening, he told the foreman, 'Call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first.' When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage." Now, we think 5 o'clock, we're at the end of the day. "But they started working at 5, and he gave them a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they did what? Assumed that they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner." Are we not in a day of protest? That's exactly what happened. Well, what did Jesus say? They protested the owner. "Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us, who worked all day in the scorching heat." He answered one of them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay the last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? This was written a long time ago. Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last." So many things here, but the one thing that I'm wanting to point out in reading this whole thing, I'm not getting on the topic of minimum wage, and I could. I'm not getting on the topic of what you deserve or think you deserve in pay. It's what you agree to work for. But that's not what I'm talking about either. What I'm talking about tonight is a mindset. And it's a mindset that I have watched grow since I was a child. We were talking about today hauling hay. How many of y'all hauled hay when you were young? Good, I'm in a community where this makes sense. I believe I was talking to some young people in their 20s, and they said, when we worked, they remember hauling hay and getting 25 cents a bale. Now, anybody close to my age goes, sign me up, I'm in. And every time you'd buck one of them bells, 25 cents. Oh, there's another bell, 25 cents, another bell, 25. I remember doing it for 3 cents a bell. Right back here. And I was excited. But I didn't think every 3 cents, yeah. I'd think out of about 30 of them, I'm closing to a dollar. I'm blown away at the mindset. Some of y'all going, no way. 30 bells, Justice looking at me right now. No, you hire somebody else. And I'm not using that as an example because obviously today's wages are different. But what I'm trying to say is there is a mindset of entitlement that I believe started a long time ago. It didn't start with McDonald's, you deserve a break today. But since I've heard that slogan, that mindset has really integrated our society. And we think that we're deserving something or we're entitled to something, and we decide what we deserve. And that mindset has got in the church, and it's got into the Christian. And what I want to challenge you with tonight is a test. Because you're going to have to fight that at some point in life. Now, I'm not saying that you change your rates for what you're working for and what you're doing, and I'm just going to go to my job free. This isn't about, per se, pay tonight. It's about a mindset of entitlement that has taken us to a place where we have lost the ability to serve. And there is a test that's given on a daily basis with that mindset in our society for the Christian. Are you passing the servant test tonight? That's what I want to talk about. The servant test. Being upset that someone else got something that you didn't will lead you to never serve. See, it'll lead you not to operate in the standard that Christ has set forward for us. It's in serving that you're able to do anything in life. And we have this mindset that no one is going to use me. And that's so against the word. It's in you being used that God's going to funnel his blessing to you. See, I am tired of entitlement knocking our Christian people out of the blessings of God. I watch it day in and day out. And so you feel entitled to something and you lose the blessing of servanthood. Now, I want to just give a disclaimer so you don't head the wrong direction. I'm not saying that you should work for free every day of your life. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when you agree to a wage, then you get into a servanthood mindset and you get after it, regardless of who got hired after you for more money. That's what Jesus was saying. Well, what are they? They didn't start till 5 and we've been here all day. Hey, my contract with them was that contract. And that's why whenever I'm building or doing anything, I'm going to get 3 or 4 bids on something because I want to know what I can agree on as far as price goes. And I'm going to find what I can agree with, and they're going to do the work for what they agreed. And here's the thing. If someone finds out, well, wait, I said I'd do it for less, that's not the issue. The issue is I hired them. And we've got Christian people living all bent out of shape because they thought they were entitled because of who they were, what they were. What I'm saying, in any situation, you're going to have a test. And the question is, when that test comes about, are you going to pass it? And as a Christian, I want to pass these tests. It's not just about making money tonight. It's a mindset that is filtered into our Christian culture, and people are missing God's blessing because they're not passing the servant test. Now, this test reveals if we have a servant's heart or if we demand to be served. And we've got a society that thinks everybody should serve them. That's not the Christian mindset. The last lesson Christ taught to his disciples before he went to Calvary was about being a servant. He used a towel and a pan of water to show who would be greatest in his kingdom. That's what he said. See, we'll be judged on how we served, not on how much money you made or how much you were able to say, here's what I need or here's what I got. We all long to hear these words. Well done, my good and faithful, well-paid guy. No. That's not what we're longing for with Jesus. We're longing for, well done, my good and faithful servant. And it's in servanthood, if you'll get that attitude first, that then the blessings come so that you can handle it correctly and then bless the kingdom of God with what's going on. That's where we've got to get a mindset of, because we all want to hear at the end of this life. Come on, nobody says, I'm just dying and looking for him to say, depart from me. No, every one of us want to hear Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant. If you don't pass the servant test, you're not going to hear, well done, my good and faithful. You've got to be a servant to hear that. He's going to call you a servant. Are you living that or not? That's the question. So yeah, I want to pass the test. Well, good. That's what we're talking about tonight. Servant is defined as a person, male or female, that attends another for the purpose of performing menial offices for him or menial tasks for him and is subject to the command of whoever you are putting yourself as a servant to. If you have your own business, once you have agreed upon a wage, your job is to be a servant. Once you've agreed upon this is what I'm going to do, then your job is to be a servant. I have watched for years an amazing thing. And please hear me. I'm not talking about anyone here. I'm just saying I have seen this in the life of people for years. They see a difference in serving when it comes to whether they're getting paid or volunteering. And I've seen a volunteer say, I'm not going to do what I said I was going to do because I'm not getting paid. But if I was getting paid, I'd have been there. They wouldn't say that, but that's a mindset. I watched Merle Maloney not make a dime and work for this school for years. Coming in grading tests, she was never late. She was always early. She worked like she was getting paid $1 million, but it wasn't for the pay. It was for the servanthood that she was here for. And she's probably going, why did you have to bring me up? But I'm just saying, I've seen that in an example live before me, and I have watched that, and I've watched it in several others too. But I give flowers to who's due, and I just, that really spoke to me for years, watching her come in. And see, there are many who wish to serve God, but here's the thing. They wish to do it from an advisory standpoint. They're not really interested in servanthood. They're interested in, I have some advice to give, and I want to tell God how to manage all of this. And so, let me say, you never get to make demands from the position of a servant. Servants don't make demands. And here's the other thing. If you're going to pass the servant test, then it's a choice you make. It's not forced upon you. It's free will. It's your choice. So you can choose not to, but know when you choose not to serve, you're choosing to not be in the Christian mindset. Let's talk about tonight what's required of a servant. If we're going to pass this test, we got to know what's required. What's required of a servant? I'll give you 7 demands that are given upon a servant. Now, here as I talk about these, I'm going to just read some scripture, and I'm going to let the scripture teach tonight, because I think that's really important. So I'm going to read some verses, and I haven't taken these out of context. I'm talking to an intelligent crowd tonight. I believe that as I read these verses, you'll know the surrounding. But for the sake of time, I've got 30 verses or more tonight. I don't want to sit here and have to, if I had to read every chapter, we'd be here till midnight. Some people are like, I can't do that. I got that. Kids got to go to bed. Luke 17:10. And the children's workers would not be happy. Luke 17:10. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. This is Jesus speaking in Luke 17. And the first demand upon a servant is a surrender. And all of these are surrenders and of servanthood. And it's surrender of your freedom. Now, we've been talking about walking in the freedom of Christ in our songs tonight. We've been talking about living in the United States of America and enjoying our freedom. I get all that. The way a Christian experiences freedom is through servanthood. You'll be free from anxiety, frustration, turmoil when you get past the test of servanthood. If you've truly served, then what you have to understand is that you were just doing what was asked, and it's of dying to your own self, your own choice, that you're obedient to the call. And a surrender of freedom means that you're obedient to the call of God upon your life. And so if you surrender your freedom, what you're saying is, I am no longer going to be free to make my own choice. I have chosen to let my choice be what my call is. I got examples for every one of these, and I can't go into them all tonight. But there was not, when God called Michelle and I to this, this isn't what we were experiencing. There wasn't a Wednesday night crowd and a Sunday night crowd. That was just, I can't wait to get to church. There was Michelle and I and the girls, and then a week later there was Ben and Angela. But there wasn't a, oh, I just can't wait. I can't wait to experience the call of God on this wonderful, beautiful church full of godly people that, no, it was being obedient to the call. Because the church couldn't support the financial obligations we had. And God had been setting us up for this for a long time. And through all of that, there was an obedience to the call of God upon our life that we knew He would make a way, He would make the provisions. And it was an obedience to the call and getting out of walking in the freedom of what money provided me. Because I made good money. And it was difficult to walk into no money. But that in lied that I had to give up my freedom to spend money on pretty much whatever I wanted to. And so I gave up. Are you seeing the call of denying yourself means denying your natural freedom. And then in essence, through the answer of the call, then God will provide you His freedom. It's a different mindset. I don't know if you're making sense. But the second thing of the seven is a surrender of time. Luke 17:7-8. If your servant comes in from plowing, this is right before what he just said in 10. If your servant comes in from plowing or from taking care of the sheep, would you say, welcome, come in, have something to eat? No, you wouldn't say that to a servant. You would say, fix me something to eat, get ready to serve me so I can have my meal. Then later on, you can eat or drink. See, when you decide to serve, you ignore your desires. You ignore what would be, I can't tell you the amount of times I have went to the job in my life and I didn't get 2 hours in and I'm telling you a cheeseburger was sounding really good. And there were times where I would walk in it by a break room or do something and I would see my boss in there eating. You know how hungry I am right now? But what I had done is chosen servanthood. And so I didn't sit here and get caught up on what he's doing. I'm to answer the call that he places if I place myself under the servanthood of that boss. When you decide to serve, you ignore, you put away stuff that needs to be done on your time frame, and you're submitted to the time frame of who you have surrendered to or submitted to help who you're serving. Number three. You surrender your authority. Everybody knows the story of the Roman officer wanting Jesus' help with the slave and knew about submission to authority. He knew because he had been that and he had submitted. I mean, he had people submitting to him. He was in authority. And he knew that if he submitted to Jesus, that he would be able to benefit from the authority of the master. And so he surrendered his authority to Jesus' authority. In Luke chapter 7, verse 8, he says, I know all of this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only got to say go, and they go, come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves or my servants, do this, they do it. Now, what he was saying is, I don't need you, Jesus, to come to my house. I just need you to say it because I know that you have the authority to heal this man. So you just say it, and I know that that's what will happen, because when I say it, I got a bunch of servants who do exactly what I say. And so you just say it, and the idea of health can be restored to my slave because you said it. And you have the ultimate. See, you got to deny your own authority and submit to the authority of someone else. And obviously, we're talking about Jesus here. Number four, a surrender of ego. Whew, that's a tough one. John 13, verse 4. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around them. John 13, verse 14. Jesus said, and since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. The example of the feet being washed. I love the illustration here. There was no ego in washing feet. I mean, you had to really, we didn't have the shoes that covered everything back then that we do now. And their feet were dirty and nasty. And what Jesus was doing was symbolic in nature. And he was saying, I love you so much that I'm going to help clean up your contact with the world. Your feet are what brings you around and does what you do. And I want you to know I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you by cleaning your feet. And I'm going to make what you're doing every day profitable. Jesus was doing so much through this. But what I want you to see in it, he set the example and said, now you go do this for everybody else. Whose contact with the world are you serving and making their daily walk better? Whew, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. But we've got to surrender. We've got to surrender our own ego. Number five, a surrender of preferences. Let me change that word and say opinions. Come on, everybody's got an opinion on everything. I know that. And I have learned over the years that there is more than one way to skin a cat. Now, I've never skinned a cat, but I know that there's more than one way. Because I have skinned a lot of deer. And I got into a competition with a friend of mine, Jesse Mizell, and I'm going to call him and tell him to listen to the sermon, because it was fun. We had two deer, and we each had a knife. And he had a way of doing it, and I had a way of doing it. And it was how we were going to get it done. And he was adamant that his way was right. And so it was a time thing, and we were going to test ourselves on who won. I won't even talk about who won. You can call Jesse and ask that. However, here's what happened through that. We got done, and I looked at his deer, and I looked at my deer. And you know what I saw? The same thing. Now, yes, one may have been a different way, and if he'd done it more, he may have whipped me. If I'd done it more, I'd made it. It didn't matter which one. What my point was, at the end, we still got the same job done. There's a lot of times we get caught up on our preference or our way of doing it. Come on, the way you're doing worship, I'd do it better. Yeah, but it's not the call on your life, it's Melanie's. See, there's a way that, well, the way my guys are doing it at work, I just don't agree with. Well, if they're going to serve you, then they're going to need to do it your way. I get that. But isn't it a lot easier when they say, how would you do it, sir? And I'd like to do it the way you tell me to. Now, when the boss says, I don't care how you do it, just get it done. Here's the time frame. Here's the amount of money we have. Get this done under this time frame and in this money. And then they can walk away. I tend to try to operate a lot like that. But there are times that I come in and say, nope, my preference is this, and this is the way I want it done. And there may be a bigger reason that's being explained, but whatever the case is, if you're going to surrender and you're going to be a servant, there's a lot of times you've got to die to your way of doing it. We've had work day after work day after work day here. And we had this side being built, the woodwork being done on this side, and the woodwork being done on this side. Now, if you are, and Kelly could probably see this, James could probably see it, Jimmy could, some of you builders out there could probably go in, and if you really were to scrutinize, you could see a difference from this side to this side. Well, what I want you to look at right now, do you see a difference? Both of them are built, and somebody might go in and say, that side's better than this side. That side hasn't failed yet. Who was right? I don't know. I walk up these stairs and it holds my weight. This side holds. They were both different. And we would look and we going back and forth. What are you doing that for? Go back to your side. All we need is them built. and I've got two builders on each side that know what they're doing, let them go. But you get a bunch of men together and you get a bunch of opinions. Especially if you're all going to work on the same job and you got 20 foremen there. Everybody's going to say, this is the way it needs to be done. You get two owners of concrete companies together, and one's going to say, this is the way we're doing it, and the other one's going to say, this is the way we're going to do it. You get two guys that paint, and one's going to say, this is the way we're going to do it, and the other one's going to say, this is the way we're going to do it. I'm just telling you, I have bid jobs, and the other one will put the other bid down. If you do it that way, you will fail. When we were building this building, they said, I would never put up a chief building. I would put up this building. Why? Well, I've got all these reasons, and they start putting down a chief building. Then they gave me their price, and it was three times higher than a chief building. Sorry, you lost the bid. Well, you'll just have to deal with it then, and we have very well. So I'm just saying, if you're going to serve someone, you've got to die to your preferences. And when you come out for a work day, you come out as a servant and you don't sit here and tell everybody this is how it's got to be done. What that will do is remove you from being called next time. That'll remove you from anybody wanting to hire you. You got to get past the test. Are y'all seeing these tests tonight, boy? Next, a surrender of purpose. Mark 10, verse 42. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, guys, it'll be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus set the example. I love when I see Jesus' example being exploded in life. We were working on a deck for a couple here a week ago Saturday. And Brad Wilson and Kirk Broberg kind of headed that up, and they were working on getting all this stuff put together. And they're probably doing the same things Merle doing. Are you kidding me? Are you talking? I want to tell you something that happened. We were working on it, and our plan that we'd kind of put together and wasn't really working. And on a Saturday, we have all these guys coming out to build the fence. And Dan Rosworm, who to me is a genius when it comes to his building ability, especially with decks, building decks, I saw him show up to build a fence. Dan, we need your wisdom. Now, here's what I thought. This could be bad. Because I could bring him up there, and I could say, all right, we've got everything already figured out on what we're going to do, and then Dan's going to come in, and I know what Dan's going to do. Dan's going to come in, and if we ask his advice, guess what? He's going to give it. And it's not that it's going to be wrong or right, but it's going to be different. I can just tell you it's going to be different. And it's probably going to involve a lot more sweat. And sure enough, Dan walks up there, and I said, guys, I've asked Dan to come up here and just give us his thoughts. Well, here's what I saw. Dan gave his thoughts, and in a matter of seconds, I saw Jesus. Because I saw all those guys say, that's what we're doing. Grab the shovel, dig a bunch of holes. Now, I didn't dig the holes. I believe Josh and Kirk did most of them because the holes that had to be dug were in this little 18-inch area. Anyway, so Kirk and Josh are in there, and they're digging these holes in between this deck that was already there. And then we go up and get some concrete, and we come back and set these posts, and we get this all done. And I mean, it was a lot of sweat. It was a hot day. But what I'm telling you is you had a bunch of men that were servants. And they said, it's not about my way. It's just submitting to what needs done. And the end goal, we'll get the cat skin. I mean, I got to get that one. The deer will be skinned. The deck's going to be done. And we just all got to be on the same page. And all of us had a different thought and an idea of how to do it. But if you come in and you can't submit to someone else's authority, then you've failed the servant test. It's just very apparent. So you got to surrender your purpose to someone else's purpose in what they're doing. Jesus set the example. Our purpose is his purpose. And Jesus set aside his whole life for us. His whole life. Number seven, a surrender of resources. We talk about this a lot. Our things are actually God's things when you get a hold of living the Christian life. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. It doesn't say, and through him and to him. No, it doesn't say, and through you and to you, I'm going to do all. It's through him. It's through him. And we've got to get to a point to realize that your drills and your saws are all to be used for his glory. See, all of that is his. And when you get that mindset, servanthood starts becoming who you are. You pass the test, and then some other things happen. Get this. Servanthood is inevitable if you are to be effective in the kingdom of God. Matthew 20, verse 26. Among you, it will be different. Is that true or not? Are you different than the rest of the world at your work? Are you different? Are you able to submit? Or has it got to be your way? Come on, there's a test every day. Well, I'm the boss. I get that, but you're working for someone. Who is it that you're working for? Ultimately, if you get the mindset of working for God, then whatever's asked of you, you're obedient and get in there and get it done. Hear this in closing tonight. Servanthood, or let me use a different word, servitude, will come before honor. What do you mean, Pastor? I'll give you a couple quick examples. Before you are ever honored, before you are ever really going to experience financial blessing, before you're ever going to really experience the true blessings of God, servanthood has to come first. Well, give me some examples. Okay, I will. Joseph served Potiphar. You just think of the whole story, and I can't go through all of these. Joshua served Moses. I mean, one story after. Samuel serves Eli. David served who? Saul. All of these guys. Elisha served Elijah. And I mean, if you read the story, he's out plowing. He's the 12th one. And they come up and, here, I'm putting this on you. And he goes and burns everything and sets up an altar and kills the animals. I mean, it's just like, okay, I'm here. I'm ready to go. What are you willing to give up and do to be a servant of God? It's big. Timothy served Paul. John Mark served Simon Peter. You can tell your servanthood if you live with those seven principles. And I just think it's real important that we get those in us. We got to ponder those in our heart. Are we really surrendering to God through our servanthood? Well, I just don't know. I'm trying. Well, it's real easy. It's real easy to know that. Have you surrendered your freedom? Have you surrendered your time? Have you surrendered your authority? How about your ego? Where's your ego at? Have you surrendered your ego? Well, they don't care what I think. You got an ego. Surrender that ego. Surrender of preferences. Surrender of purpose. And surrender of resources. Very, very important that we pass the servant test.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.